97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Monday show. The Mike Mussallo Show, broadcasting to the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. I am assuming that Eagle fans have moved from angst to comfort in a weekend that they didn't play. And here's why. Because if you look at the division, and we were once scared about whether they can win a division or not, and it is clear to me now that they're a lock to win a division. Because the Dallas Cowboys are an absolute miserable disgrace. And I don't say that gleefully. I actually feel sorry for them that they could lose that badly to a bad team like the Washington football team. I guess, well, Washington beat the Eagles. Yes, they did. But the Cowboys are an absolute mess. So as we evaluate the Eagles and we talk from day to day about what they don't have and how they're not going to do anything in the playoffs, the only thing you can hope for is that they get into the playoffs and win their division. And in light of the other teams in this division, the Eagles can't possibly lose the division. I mean, I'm looking at the line for next week's game against Dallas. I can't imagine that line is only 3.5. That the Eagles are only favored by 3.5. And it gets me wondering. Like, we rip a lot of Philadelphia teams here, and we rip management. But I can't remember, when was the last time that we were one of those teams that was, like, rock bottom rotten? You know, in any sport, when were we last rock bottom rotten? Like the Jets or the Cowboys or, you know, I don't know how a team and an organization allows their team in a salary cap league allows their team to get to be such a mess. Now, listen, I'm kind of, you know, this is like faint praise. I get it that we haven't been rock bottom, but have we been as rotten as the Jets at any time? We have. Well, when were we? When were we like a team that couldn't win a game?
What was that, like 95?
All right, but that was a while ago, though, right? In the last 25 years, have any of our teams been? We complain and bitch and moan. Don't get me wrong, but have we been Jets, Cowboys, rotten?
No, except for the Sixers, who were intentionally rotten.
Okay,
they were intentionally the worst basketball team I've ever seen.
During the tank mode, I get that. All right, so yeah, all right. So I don't have an answer for that, but you're right. They were intentionally trying to do it. These teams are actually trying to win, and they have no idea how to do it.
Yes, the Phillies also, Booney points out, 3 years ago they lost 96 games, but that was at the time where Klentak thought he was doing a Cubs-like rebuild.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up coming out with Chris Bryant, and instead they came out with Mickey Moniak.
Right. Yeah.
But at the time, they thought they were going to do a Cubs-like rebuild.
There were also a couple teams then that lost over 100 games, right?
Yes.
That were, like, completely rotten.
They did get the first pick in the draft, so they had to be the worst team to get Moniak.
I guess. All right. So, but, I was just thinking about this the other day, like, we complain about the Eagles and what they don't have, and they're, you know, they ever win 5-6 games, but they're not. The Jets have no chance to win. They're a 23-point underdog this weekend. And that's pathetic. Just think about it. If your team was that much of an underdog, how bad you would feel about your team. At least we're not rotten, is the theme of today's show.
You know what, Mike?
I'll take it.
I'll take that. There's a reason I will take that. We have to always, somebody has told me that no matter how bad things are, you should at times, not every day, because you got to hold people accountable, you got to hold yourself accountable, but sometimes you do just have to be thankful for what you do have.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far to be thankful, but I'm just saying, like, what does it feel like as a fan base to be the worst? You know, like, Tank, and then Phillies occasionally, but I just can't imagine. Like, the Cowboys are an embarrassment, and they were supposed to have talent, right? Like, that owner thinks he can pick talent, and they're, you know, win a division, and they lose. They can't even score a touchdown against Washington.
Nope, and their quarterback gets knocked unconscious, and nobody even puts a finger on the guy that does it.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy should have been leaving in the same stretcher.
And the coach, who has no respected off from his players, calls his players out for not doing it. If they had respect for the coach, they wouldn't do it. It's just a mess. Now, you Cowboy Weasels, seriously, you've been silent for a really long time. I know I'm not at a high platitude here with the Eagles. I know the Eagles aren't a Super Bowl contender, but your team sucks. And I can't believe, seriously, that's atrocious. And you know, all you do is brag about the cowboy myth and this and that. And look what you got. It's embarrassing. And so this is what I say. The Eagle fans, over the weekend, when you didn't play over the weekend, you had a chance to observe everything else. You went from almost losing the game to the Giants, which would have ruined the whole season, to now feeling kind of comfortable that the Eagles are going to win a division and host a home playoff game. Now, at least that's something, right?
Absolutely. That's something. And it has to be because we watch every single snap that we don't notice some of the other cities. Uh-huh. It was nice for me to have a weekend where you see some of the other bad teams or you see some other players. Like, we think that, for example, Carson Wentz is the only quarterback to throw a bad interception. Then I saw a guy who's arguably the best in the league in Russell Wilson throw two bad ones, including in the red zone, because I was told Wentz is the only quarterback in the history of the league to ever throw a bad interception in the red zone.
Not to mention Ben Roethlisberger this week.
Exactly. A Hall of Fame guy. But in year five, Ben's on year 55 and still made a mistake. Yet I was told Carson Wentz is the only quarterback to ever make that heinous error of throwing an interception.
Listen, I don't know how you feel this weekend because, like, without football, you have a chance to think about stuff. And really, that game Thursday was won by the skin of their teeth, right? They probably shouldn't have won it, were not their Giants kind of giving them a gift wrap. But the point is that now we feel a little comfortable. Like, the Dallas game next week, you look at it and go, well, the only thing that's fishy about this is the line. They stink. The Eagles don't stink. They're not a great team, but they don't stink. So if that's all I got, then that's all I got. You know, it's going to have to be good enough for the time being that we don't stink. We're not at rock bottom. We're not the Jets. Good Lord, if you're a fan of the Jets, what do you got? You got nothing but incompetence every year.
And I think that's the thing. We've had individual bad years. Like the Flyers, like in 10, 15 years ago, they had a year 13. I forget. They had a really bad. But what they don't have is a feeling where they'll never get better. Like, no one thinks that about any of the teams, even the Phillies. I don't think anybody thinks with Harper, with Nola and Wheeler, they're not going to be the worst team in baseball. I mean, I'm glad they made a GM change. I wish they had made a different kind of change. But you get the point.
Yes.
And same with the Sixers. As bad as we thought with the Sixers are now a perennial playoff team. Not good enough. The process is supposed to have a title. But nobody thinks, oh, man, the Sixers are about to be in the lottery. People think the Sixers are going to make the playoffs. The question is, can they improve themselves to be a contender? They're not terrible.
All right, so here is another question, and this is a main question I would like you to ask, because there's a lot of speculation on whether the Eagles should be buyers or sellers. The trade deadline's coming up, right? Now, there are two ways you could look at this. Number one is you go, well, they should be buyers because they're like the kingpin in their division now, and they're going to win a division even though they might not win it with a winning record. So you should add some people. The other side of it is, well, making a deal, they're still the best team in the division. So why would you, like, sacrifice anything instead of just standing pat? So I'm curious to know. They can't make themselves, in my opinion, a Super Bowl contender by buying. They can improve themselves a little bit. They can't go that much up the ladder if they trade somebody for a linebacker or whatever, because it's not going to be a monumental deal. So I go, this is a year where maybe you're going to have to just accept winning a division, getting into the playoffs, and hoping that you can win a first-round game, which is home, which you may or may not be able to do. And at that point, if you win a game, you go, all right, well, that's all we could reasonably expect them to win. So where are you right now as a fan for the Eagles? Are you comfortable not having played on Sunday, but observing what you're up against now and confident about it, or wanting to make a trade to make yourself better than what you think you are? 610-620-975. So we'll go over some possible trade possibilities that have been laid out by some people who cover the team, some realistic trade possibilities, some realistic people that would be traded. And know, we'll talk about the Eagles in that context today, since we do not have a game on Football Monday. And we'll talk. Listen, around the NFL is coming up. There were some circumstances in the NFL and also in college football that will be addressed in around the NFL. And I know there are tons of people out there that are that celebrated hard on Saturday at about 6:30, 7 o'clock because a certain team lost a football game. And then, of course, there's a certain team that won a football game in the same conference. Yeah, well, that wasn't the one that won. I thought you were going to play that other theme song.
No.
Oh, you're not going to play? You don't even have that, do you?
No, I'll put it in there.
Do you?
Yeah, it's ready.
Oh, yeah.
It's ready. It's ready. I got to stretch.
What, you think you're jumping the gun?
I got to stretch a little.
I don't want to jinx it.
What is it?
I got to talk to my man. I told you him and I, he wrote a handwritten card. We become close friends. So, I don't want to, but I've been trying to tell the kids, if you don't want the coach that's all up in the videos, all in your face, I've just been saying.
Yeah, all right.
We saw it on Saturday.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. Listen, at the very least, I made people money this weekend. All right? It's the Mike Missanelli Show.
All right.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
We always like to welcome this man for a little Eagle game analysis, but this is just NFL analysis now. This is Brian Westbrook, the great number 36, brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Windows, Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Well, B. West, you came up a lot in my brain this weekend because of some things that happened in the NFL and college football.
You know, a lot went on this weekend, and obviously there's been some players that have not been paying attention to things that happened years ago. In my NFL.
You are like the poster child for that play of going down.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that, years ago, and I still get questioned about the play all the time, and I get the comment about, you caused my fantasy team, the championship, things like that. But obviously this weekend was huge for the play that you go down to save your team from losing a game and allowing the other team to get the ball back.
All right, let's get into this quickly, because then I want to ask you about the status of the division, which I think now Eagle fans are like 100% convinced that they're going to win the division. But let's go back to this play, what we're talking about. We're talking about if you score instead of just going down, because if you go down, the other team exhausts their timeouts, you can't lose the game if you kneel down a couple times, right? So in this, and you knew that at the time, way back when. I forget, what was the game? Your memory is better than me on
this.
We
played against Dallas. We were actually leading 10-6. And the deal is that if the other team, the opposing team, has no timeouts and is first down and is underneath the 2-minute warning. So a lot of things have to be in your favor. So it has to be underneath the 2-minute warning. They have no timeouts and it's first down. You can literally take four knees and retain the ball and never give the ball back. The reason why you want to do that is because let's say you score, right?
Mm-hmm.
That gives the other team the opportunity to go down and score again, get an onside kick, and potentially score again. So you kind of allow them, even though it's far-fetched and it may not even happen, but you allow them to have a chance to win by taking the knee or not scoring in those situations. At that point, you don't even allow the other team, the opposing team, to have that opportunity to win. It was a little bit different than the Atlanta game this weekend, though. And this weekend, so Atlanta was playing Detroit. Atlanta was down by 2 points, 16-14. Todd Gurley had the opportunity to stop at the 1 yard line, and then they could kick the field goal. They win the game, and the game's over. They win the game by one.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he scored. So he tried to stop at the one. He couldn't stop. He falls into the end zone. They end up scoring. So now they're up by, I believe, 5 points or something like
right.
that.
Right. And you leave and the other team a chance to come down and score enough points to win the game or tie the game. So this has to be
that's
8 points or less. This
that's
apply.
Right.
All right. Now, when you did it, were you instructed to do it or did you naturally know to do that?
So, no, that's one of those plays that during mini camp and OTAs, you're instructed, like, you know, you go through, like, situational football. Okay, if this happens and all these things happen, and one of the good things we had was John Harbaugh, who was really, really good at situational football. And so we've gone over those types of plays. Now, we're in a huddle at that time, and John Runyon does remind me. He's like, Wes, if you break it, just go down. Now, here's the hard part. Your natural instinct, everything that you've learned throughout the course of your career is to score, period, no matter what. If you have an opportunity to score, just score. So to be able to stop your momentum and to be thinking instead of reacting in the middle of the play is very rare. Luckily, it worked out for us, and we didn't obviously give the ball back to the Cowboys at that point.
Yeah, it was obviously the smartest thing to do, and you were the author of it. And yeah, Tyrone does. He reminds me that was the game. Jessica Simpson was at the game. And she wrote about it in her book.
Oh, that's right. Her and Tony Romo were dating.
Right. She was dating Tony Romo. And you're immortalized in her book with that particular play.
She knew about the game. Jessica Simpson knows football.
Yeah.
And when Brian went down, her heart broke because she knew she was going to get blamed. Because it was like the coming out party they were showing her.
Because he went to Cabo, right?
Yes.
And he go to Cabo with
yes.
her?
Yes. Yeah, her okay. and Witten. And Witten. Witten right. took no blame, just him. And she literally said, when Brian Westbrook took that knee, my heart broke.
Yes.
She wrote it in her book.
There you go. She wrote it in her book.
I made the book.
All right. So now let's look at the Penn State game. And I texted you a circumstance. I know you weren't watching Penn State at the time.
Of course not.
of course not. So now here's a college running back. You're a seasoned professional. He's a college running back who probably kind of knows that it probably was mentioned, but they call the play, and apparently he wasn't reminded, and he scores. Now, in that situation, who do you blame?
I'm probably going to blame the coach in that situation because as a college kid, do you really supposed to know that as a college kid? Really?
No, probably not.
No. I'm going to blame the coach.
Okay. That's all you have to say about that. Because you love the fact that the final result was that Penn State lost.
Well, of course. That's the most important thing because you were so excited about Penn State game this weekend.
No. I had the opposite. I said Indiana was going to win the game because the line told me.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my
come on, how soon you forget, man? I was all over that game. I thought they were going to lose it outright. They wound up losing it outright, but they shouldn't have. It was ridiculous what happened in that game. So I'm just
they should have won the game. That's right.
Well, yeah. I can't imagine that a coach would call a play and not, since he's talking into the kid's helmet, remind the running back not to score.
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to ask yourself this. Did the coach know? I mean, that's the first
question. Yeah, he knew. He said afterwards that he told them that, like, he threw the kid under the bus, basically. He said, well, he told him. But he didn't tell him at that direct play. All right, let me move on to another thing. I'm watching football this weekend, and I see the Dallas Cowboys lose the way they lost. And now I'm thinking that Eagle fans that were, like, filled with angst last week, almost lost to the Giants, but still, after they wanted to beat the Giants, didn't realize what was going to happen here. Watching a Dallas game, there I can't not see a way that the Eagles won't win the division.
Well, I'll say this. We know we lost the first game to Washington. Washington is not a very good football team, but they play hard. They play tough, and they have a really good defense. And now, based upon what has happened in Dallas, it comes down to us in Washington. And Washington, and I can't believe that we're not better than that football team. Especially with some of the guys coming back. So, yeah, no, we're definitely going to beat Dallas. There's no doubt about it. We'll beat them twice. They're kind of out of it. We'll beat the Giants up in New York, and even though it may be a close game. Now we have to figure out if we can beat Washington. That's going to be the case. But yeah, I think as an Eagles fan, you should certainly be thinking it's our division to lose at this point. There's no doubt about
it. All right, so how are we supposed to feel knowing that 6-9-1 is likely to win this division and take the Eagles into the playoffs? How are we supposed to feel about that?
we're supposed to feel like we'll get at least one home game for in the playoffs, and then we'll all be talking about the offseason. That's what we should feel like. And here's the other part, though. As a fan, you should be saying, you know what? We never know. Maybe we catch lightning in the bottle. We get a home game. We get an opportunity to play in the playoffs. And for some crazy reason, things happen weird in playoff games. Injuries, COVID, all these different things, especially in this year, and obviously it'll be 2021 next year. But 2020 has been crazy. We never know what can happen in a playoff game, any given Sunday type of deal. And as long as we get in, we got a chance to win. That's what Eagles fans should be thinking.
Okay. All right. Do they really have a chance to win game one?
No.
They have a chance to win game one at home.
I don't think so. I don't know. I guess it depends who you play. You could be playing against Nick Foles and the Bears. You never know. Any given Sunday, things can happen. And in this league, especially when turnovers are involved, you have an opportunity to win. You get a team on the road. It's cold here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Maybe that team is not used to the cold weather. You got an opportunity to win a game. So there is a chance. You certainly have a chance, but is the odds in our favor? I would say no.
All right. Let me end it with this. You went 2-1. You keep having these winning records, which I don't understand, because the law of averages says you'll go 0-3 or 1-2 one of these weeks.
Well, I should have been 3-0. But Todd Gurley stops at the doggone 1 yard line. I go 3-0.
So that's what you're mad at, because that's the text I get from you.
Yeah,
it's all about you all the time, whether you can go 3-1 or 2-1.
Oh, I mean,
3-0 or 2-1.
No doubt.
But let me counter, because you took the Steelers. Now that kid's lining up for the field goal. Were you watching the field goal at the time? Did you think that was good? Because if that's good, you lose that game. Tennessee goes into overtime and beats that team.
I wouldn't guarantee that. But yeah, you had a good chance, because the way that the Tennessee Titans played in that second half, they looked really, really good. And that defense of the Steelers didn't look as strong, especially in that second half.
You'll take it 2-1 and you'll gloat about it. And I need a win tonight. So how do you feel about the Rams Bears tonight?
Who do you have?
I have the Rams -6.
No. I think the Bears win outright. I'm telling you this. Nick Foles has been crazy. It's just Nick Foles
Tyron, this is where I double the bet.
Go ahead. Bears win outright. That defense getting after Jared Goff. He's going to have a hard time. Jared Goff's going to have a hard time tonight. You're going to be so upset. Matter of fact, I'm going to be texting you throughout the entire game tonight because of this.
That's not happening tonight. The Rams will win this game easy. But thank you for your support. I appreciate it. All right, man. Listen, great to have you.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Our next guest can lay it out for us. He is Ron Jaworski, and he is brought to us by
Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up to a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet in Delran or at BarlowChevrolet.com.
All righty, Mr. Jaworski, how are you today?
I'm terrific, Michael. We got our win on Thursday. We can look forward to Sunday night against those Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, exactly. So let's talk about that Dallas team, right? Because I know you have much love for them. And they are a team just coming apart at the seams. And now they got DiNucci as the quarterback. I got to ask you this question. How does a team fragment the way they have?
Well, number one, it starts when you lose your offensive line. Number two, when your quarterback, Dak Prescott, goes down. And number three, Ezekiel Elliott, can't hold on to the football and has nowhere to run. So it's been a complete collapse on the offensive side of the football, despite having a plethora of outstanding wide receivers. Defensively, they can't stop anybody. When you start signing Alden Smith and guys like that that haven't been around playing the game for the last couple of years, it's hard to put that together. Right now, you know, they're just getting nothing out of their defense as well. They are getting gutted by every team they play. So, you know, you don't want to overlook them, but I just can't see this team competing right now, the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I agree. And so, like their whole plan to hire McCarthy, and then all of a sudden the players come out and go, this coaching staff's terrible. We were not prepared. All this kind of thing. That's just like a team that's ready to blow apart. So how does it get to that point?
Well, you know, it always starts at the top with Jerry Jones. You know that. And I'm a huge Mike McCarthy fan. In fact, I thought that was going to be a huge disadvantage for the Eagles when Mike McCarthy, a proven Super Bowl winning coach, you know, was hired by the Cowboys. You know, I know Mike spent all last season, you know, doing analytics, put a coaching staff together. They were working out of his house/barn back in Green Bay. I mean, he was getting ready for getting back into coaching. I don't think the game has passed him by because he was away from a year, but the staff that he's put together just doesn't seem to be getting it done at this point. You know, and I know he kept Kellen Moore, the offense coordinator, who was there with Jason Garrett. He brought in, you know, Mike Nolan, who really is a wonderful guy, but everywhere he's been, his defense seems to get shredded. So, you know, you got to put together a coaching staff. That's the one thing that we sometimes overlook. You know, we always lay it on the doorstep of the head coach, and he obviously is culpable. But clearly, when you put a staff together, you better put a group together that knows how to teach. And the minute you stop teaching, the guys start bitching. That's what happens. You lose, they start chirping, and that's what's happening in Dallas right now. Now, boy, they better put their finger in the dike and clog this thing up quick, or it is going downhill fast.
I don't really know how that happens, so I'll ask you as a quarterback, what do you know about Ben DiNucci?
He's from JMU, man. Seventh round pick. You know, just in preparation for the draft last year, it was one of those fly-by kind of guys, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't spend a whole day studying all his game tape, and although JMU has a great program, you know, seventh round draft choice, you know, actually made a nice throw on his on the one sideline play that he made last week. But other than that, very little about the guy. But this is not the defensive line you want to play against if you're going to get your first start in the NFL. Now, we don't know, you know, what's going to happen to Andy Dalton, but clearly it looks like, you know, from that hit that he took, boy, I got to believe he probably will miss this week's game. But who knows? I don't know what the protocol will be.
All right, so let's look at the realistic part of this now. We came off a Thursday night game where they were kind of lucky to win, and now after watching the Dallas Cowboys and knowing that's their next opponent, I don't see where there's any way the Eagles can't win the division. Is that going too far?
I'm optimistic. I don't want to say, you know, you can't see it, but we did lose to the Washington football team week one. And quite honestly, if you look at the division right now, at least defensively, Washington is playing very good. I mean, they have a tremendous, defensive front. They've improved their secondary and they beat us. So, you know, you got to say, okay, that might be the team you'll contend with, but you said it best. I mean, if Ingram doesn't drop that ball, Carson Wentz doesn't get a chance to come back and win the game on Thursday night. So, this division's a wide open. The Eagles aren't playing their best football right now. They've got a bunch of holes themselves. But, you know, when you look at it and say, yeah, you know, I think I said this to you a couple weeks ago. You know, 5-10-1 could win a division.
Yeah, I think they're going to get...
And I'm laughing because it's laughable.
Yeah, I think they're going to get to 6. And we just went over Washington. Even if Washington can get to 6, which I guess they can, the Eagles tie gives them a division. It's practically impossible for them not to win the division.
Yeah, well, there's 9 games left, Mike. I'm not gonna,
I know. You never go. To that extent. I'm trying to push you to that extent. You'll never go.
You know, like when the schedule comes out, everyone says they're going to win this one, they're going to lose this one. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. All right. I got you.
But that's what we do. That's what we do as fans, per se. But,
that's, you know, fair enough. I want to see. I want to go back to this game for a second and talk about the play that Dalton got blasted on. And what should have been the reaction from Dallas? Because we certainly didn't see anything. And I'm wondering, like, as an old football soul, when you saw that, what did you think?
I'll be totally honest with you. I think if that would have been me, there would have been a brawl. I think my guys had my back, you know? That's kind of how I feel. If your quarterback takes a lick, you better have a bunch of guys, you know, going to battle for him. And it did happen. And maybe the Cowboys have gone a little soft. You know, they're already dissing their coach, you know, always with the anonymous comments, you know, who knows where they came from. But anyway, they're already dissing the coach. Now they're not going to stand up for their quarterback who took a vicious cheap shot to the head. And then, you know, he certainly deserved to get thrown out of the game. But there was no one there. There was no fight in the Dallas Cowboys. There was no anger in the Dallas Cowboys. You know, so maybe it's a team that, you know, just isn't buying in right now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking, because it's either, you just said it, it's either they have that they don't have that kind of respect for Dalton, or they don't care about anything, and they're going through the motions, and they're a team that's just broken apart.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how they feel. You know, you got to be in that locker room, you got to be part of it, but, you know, Andy Dalton, although he's only been there a year, you know, he spent 9 years in Cincinnati, but this guy's your quarterback, and he just took a vicious, you know, I won't call it a cheap shot, but it was a vicious shot to the head. I mean, we all saw it. Knocked his helmet clear off his head. He got a concussion, probably going to be out at least a week, as I said earlier. No one really knows. He'll be in the protocol, but no one goes up to battle for you. Come on. That's just something about the character of your football team. Don't you have any guys with some guts?
I hear you. All right, let's talk about the girly play. Now, as a quarterback, a pro player should know that, right? But should the quarterback have, like, when he calls that play in the huddle, say, now remember, we can't score it here?
Yeah, you absolutely say that. There's no question that was said in the huddle.
You think it was said in the huddle, and he just...
I'll go back a little bit, Mike. They should have kicked the damn field goal. Took a knee and kicked the damn field goal. What good, you know? Yeah. It's easier than extra point, because the extra point is from the 35 now.
Uh-huh.
What are you trying to prove? I mean, the coach is culpable there. Yeah, I mean, and in the huddle, it was said, Todd Gurley has been in that situation before, and he stopped at the one.
He did, actually, yes.
I looked at that play, like you probably did. He was fighting to get through. He got bumped. His momentum was going forward. He did not want to score. The ball went over by a couple inches, and, hey, you know, there was a touchdown. So that gave Detroit a chance to come back.
All right, so is there a different responsibility in college, because the same thing happened the day before with Penn State and Indiana?
Yeah. It sure did happen at Penn State, and you got to be alert. It's not like you don't practice these things. You know, everyone has these charts and analytics and everything else, and you know, he wasn't trying to score. But I think the problem was with the call. Why even run the ball? Take a knee, center the ball, and kick it through the uprights, and go home and party.
All right, tonight, Nick Foles against the Rams. What do you like in this game?
I'm going back and forth on this one. I've been watching this one real close, because the Bears defense a couple years ago really caused a lot of problems for Jared Goff. He couldn't get out of his own way, and so I'm going to take the team with a little better defense overall, and that's being the Bears.
Wow, you're picking the Bears to win the game.
Win the game.
All right, Jaws. always a pleasure. You get out golf this weekend at all?
Of course I did.
Oh, yeah, I figured you did. Saturday was better. I played Sunday a little frosty.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday were magnificent, glorious days for the game of golf, and I can't say my game was that way, but it was nice to get out and have some fun.
Yeah, so all the Jaworski courses were packed on Friday and Saturday?
Hey, Mike, the golf business is crazy right now. Food and beverage isn't that well, but beer drinkers are all doing well.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the few things we can do right now, go out and play golf, and the golf courses are doing well. At least we're being outdoors, social distancing, and having some fun.
God bless you. If you open an eighth, I'm in, all right? All right, man. We'll see. There's Ron Jaworski checking it out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.